Again, we're delighted you're able to be with us through a live stream today or watching one of the recordings. We're delighted that you're with us and hope you have your Bibles with you. And I do want you to have your Bibles ready and open. And we're going to be reading from several different passages of Scripture today. When Bobby selected our songs this week, he mentioned to me in a note that he sent out that one or two of them were going to be what we would consider Christmas songs, so we could be having Christmas in July. And that's what he did. I guess that thought was kind of in the back of my mind as I thought about the greatest gift. And the greatest gift is God making us in his image and giving us the opportunity and the ability to come back to that image and being counted holy by him through Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift, and I think it very appropriate that we consider it in that way as we talk about this tonight. Tonight, we're going to be looking at making disciples. This gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ is available for every single human being, but not every person will receive it. Why not? Well, we need to look. There are two events that occur in the Bible that are impacted by, that formulate what we're going to be looking at tonight. And I wanted us to take a look very briefly at those two events. The first one is in Matthew chapter 10. This is when Jesus sends out his apostles. This is normally referred to as the limited commission. And the reason it's referred to as the limited commission is because of verse 6, where he instructs his apostles, do not go to any Gentiles and do not go to the Samaritans, but go only to the house of Israel. And that makes it a limited commission. He was limiting where the apostles were to go and to deliver the message of the kingdom of heaven and to get people ready for the coming of Jesus, to speak to them, or get people ready for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Great Commission is given in the book of Matthew at the end and at the end of the book of Mark. And there, the Great Commission, Jesus tells his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what we refer to as the Great Commission. But this is the limited commission. And I wanted you to notice some things that are said to Jesus as he speaks, or said by Jesus as he talks to his apostles. Notice what he says to them about bringing followers, making disciples. What he says to them about what to expect and what to do. And the first place I want us to read, verses 12 through verse 15, and all these verses that we're going to look at are on the screen for you. As you enter into a home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than it will be for that town. Look at verse 16. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Then verse 21 through verse 23. Brother will betray brother to death, a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Now, this is not just in the normal workings of life as we see it now. This is because of their stance for Jesus. This is because of their belief in Jesus. And he goes on and he says this, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And then 32 through 40 to finish out this limited commission where Jesus is giving instruction to his apostles. In verse 32, he says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." We have to talk about Jesus. We have to say what he says, even when it's not liked. "But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." We begin to get an idea that discipleship is serious, and that Jesus is serious about those who are going to be his disciples. Let me show you just how serious Jesus is. I want to remind you, just in comparison to this limited commission, of the story of the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus wanting to know what he must do in order to have eternal life. And Jesus eventually tells him, "Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And the young man went away sad because he had great riches. If you ever paid attention, and I know you have, Jesus let him walk away. Jesus did not beg him to stay. He let him walk away. He will let you and I walk away. That becomes very serious about this matter of discipleship. It is our choice, and we have to choose to do it. Now, I want to take you to a miracle Jesus performs. And the reason it ties in is because the apostles, according to three of the accounts of this, are coming back from the limited commission. They've been on the limited commission and they are coming back. But I want to put up the four places where this miracle occurs. You don't have to turn to all of them. You can if you wish. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things about the difference in each one. The first accounting is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And it tells us that Jesus went to be by himself because he had just learned of the death of John the Baptizer. He feeds the 5,000, and the 5,000 are just the men, not counting the women and children. So we have no idea of exactly the total number of individuals that were there. But there were 5,000 men. And then Jesus dismisses his apostles, tells them to get in the boat they came there in, and to return home, and he would follow them later. He dismisses the crowd, then he goes up onto a mountain and he prays. And from the standpoint of feeding the 5,000, Matthew brings the story or his account to an end. Mark's account is in Mark 6, 32 through 44. He includes the death of John the Baptist just prior to this event But he doesn't list it as a reason for them going to this place to be apart from everybody. Instead, Mark says that the apostles are returning, overjoyed by all that they had accomplished. And Jesus tells them, let's go apart so that you can rest for a while. So they go to the place where Jesus will feed the 5,000 so that the apostles can rest from being on this commission that Jesus has sent them on. Luke is going to tell us the same thing in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, that the apostles have returned and Jesus is taking them away in order to be able to rest. John has this account in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. It's in John that we learn, because Andrew introduces him, that there is a young boy there who has the two pieces, or the five pieces of bread and the two small fish. And these are the items, the five loaves of bread or the small pieces of bread and the two small fish that were the meal or the lunch for this little boy that Jesus uses to feed this crowd of over 5,000 individuals. Again, Jesus dismisses the crowd, but they don't go away. They don't go anywhere. Because we learn from John's account that the crowd is still there the next morning, seeing Jesus had gone away to pray, gone up into the mountain to pray, they evidently wait for him. And the next morning, they realize that the boat Jesus came in and all of Jesus' disciples are already gone, and Jesus did not get on the boat to go with them. So they're wondering where Jesus is. And they see other boats that have arrived during the night, and they get in those other boats and go to look for Jesus. He's not there anymore. And they go across the Sea of Galilee in order to be able to find him. And then we are led to the second place, the most important place, where John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 is different. And it takes us to the book of John, chapter 6, same chapter, but we're going to start reading some verses. And before we read those verses, and please don't jump ahead of me, wait just a second, I want you to think about something. How do you build a church? How do you make disciples? How do you build them? Suppose you had 5,000 uninvited people. Over 5,000 uninvited people to show up to listen to what you had to say. What would you do? Would you strive to do everything that you could to keep that 5,000 and make it grow even larger? Would you do everything that you could to find out who these 5,000 are? Well, if you were here, we would pass out attendance cards. We'd want your name, address, and phone number. We'd want to be able to keep in contact with you. We would want to invite you back. We'd want to send you a note. We'd want to send you a letter. We might call you. We want you to know that we're glad that you're here and we want to see you back again. That makes what happens here all the more puzzling and possibly all the more important. Jesus leaves the crowd and not just goes up into a mountain to pray. He leaves the entire area. And he goes to another place. But the crowd is insistent on finding him and being with him, and they follow him and find him. And when they find him, Jesus says some unbelievable things. Jesus says some things that probably we would never have said for fear that what happens would happen. So what are we doing? And what is Jesus doing? And why is he doing it? And what do we need to learn about being a disciple and making a disciple? Let's read together. John chapter 6, we're not going to read all of it. We're going to read some selected verses. And in John chapter 6, I want you to start reading with me in verse 28. Give me just a second to turn over there because I was still in Matthew. But John chapter 6, starting with verse 28, the Bible will say this. They ask him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Now that word might be defined for us a little more as we go through the reading. Drop down to verse 32. The crowd wants to be fed again. They want Jesus to perform a sign. They want Jesus to continue to give the bread. They want Jesus to give the manna like Moses or God gave to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. So they asked for that bread. Jesus replies, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." You're already getting it. It's already here for you. "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they want this bread. And this crowd wants this very bread that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says, "I'm the bread. I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And Jesus picks up this reading in verse 41, and read along with me. "As the Jews there begin to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven,' they said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus replies this way, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.'" How are we taught by God? By what he says? By what he's written? By the words that he's given to us, as we talked about this morning, that describe for us his image and his likeness, and by the coming of Jesus. Jesus continues, "Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father, or no one has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now, picking up in verse 41, the crowd is deeply troubled by what Jesus had said. I'm sorry, picking up in verse 53, they're deeply troubled by what Jesus says. And then Jesus says this to them. Now, I know this reading is hard. And it's difficult to understand what is he talking about. My flesh is real food. And my blood is real drink. What is he talking about? Sometimes people say, well, that's the Lord's Supper. So if I take the Lord's Supper, I have it. No, he's talking about much more than the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder of it. And he's about to describe for us what he means. And what he's talking about when he says that his flesh is food and his blood is drink. He says this, starting in verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Do you understand what he's saying? Maybe these verses will help. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Why? Because they came for physical bread. They came for the food that they could eat with their mouth and put into their physical stomach. That's why they were there. They came for what they physically could get out of it. And that's not what Jesus was offering. Jesus was offering himself. If you eat me and drink me, and he meant by that, if you listen to what I say and strive to become like me, if you die to yourself and live for me, if you become my follower, if you become my disciple. You see, Jesus isn't interested in the numbers. He's interested in faithful followers. He's not interested in keeping the crowd. He's interested in keeping disciples. He's interested in keeping those who strive to regain the image and likeness of God. They do that by listening to what God says. Thus Jesus said, "Nobody can come to me unless they're brought by the Father." The Father's words, commandments, his instructions, his creation, the fact that he is real and alive. And the one who comes to God can only come through Jesus, can only come through him, by listening to him and by following him. Jesus wasn't interested in building just a large church full of people. He was interested in disciples, people who follow him. So seeing the crowd go away, 5,000, if they were all still there, in a number over 5,000, if they were all still there, they leave, no longer to follow, at least not for the time being. Hopefully and prayerfully, they learn more about Jesus later. But they leave, and Jesus lets them leave because they were only interested in physical food and what they could get out of this physically. They weren't interested in being disciples and followers. And so Jesus then turns to his 12. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. If they had said yes, he would have let them go. And then Jesus, or rather Simon Peter, says this, speaking for all of them. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's Jesus' food. That's his drink. That's his life. That's who he was. He came as the perfect Son of God, showing us the exact image of God in a physical body in human form. And he taught us what it's like to be in the image of God. And he showed us And thus Peter says, "You are the one who has the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus has a disciple. He has 11 of them. He knows the one that will betray him. He has other disciples. But that's what he's looking for. That's what he came for. That's who he's after. The ones who want to be followers. The ones who want to be genuine disciples. The ones who strive to walk in the image and likeness of God by striving to walk in the image and likeness of Jesus. It's for them he died. God counts them holy because of that death. And God accepts them as his children into an eternal home in heaven with him. We need to be after disciples. We need to make sure that we are striving ourselves to be his disciple and to walk in the image and likeness of God. Thank you for being with us this evening. We ask you to be with us as we go to our Father in prayer. And we hope and pray that your week will be a good one. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and the hope that he gives to us. Help us all, Father, to determine, to learn about him, to come to know him, to come to know his heart, so we can come to know and understand your likeness, and we can strive to live in your likeness every day that we live, so that we can truly be the disciples and followers of Jesus, and the disciples and followers of you. Thank you for the hope you give us. And we ask you to be with us today and throughout the week ahead of us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.